This is episode number 16. Welcome to the Sprouting Minds podcast. I am your host, Diego Never Lose Cruz, and each week I offer you a new perspective or a message to help you navigate life's challenges as a young adult and help you realize your inner goat. Thank you for spending some time with me today. Now enjoy the episode. Welcome to this week's edition of the Sprouting Minds podcast. Last week, I started a nutrition re-education because of all this outdated misinformation people unknowingly still believe and follow. I broke the talk up in two parts. If you haven't heard part one, I highly advise you to go back and listen to it to understand this episode. A quick reminder to subscribe to the Sprouting Minds podcast if this is your first time hearing it. Rate it, review it if you're a fan or if you haven't done so yet. And without further ado, let's dive right in to part two. So we've talked about protein and the difference between animal protein and plant protein. We've talked about carbs, which carbs to eat, which carbs to limit or avoid. We've talked about fats, you know, the difference between the four different types of fat and how saturated fat is much healthier for us than polyunsaturated fat. And we've also talked about how to prepare vegetables correctly and to avoid eating them raw because of the anti-nutrients. Another thing that we have to pay attention to, and if you yourself are diabetic or know anybody in your family that's diabetic, you know how important blood sugar is. So what is blood sugar? Blood sugar is the concentration of glucose or sugar that's present in our blood. Now, most of us should have a range between 65 milligrams per deciliter to 105 milligrams per deciliter. And the body's goal is to keep the blood sugar in these desirable ranges to achieve a homeostasis so that you can feel energized, alert, happy, and have an elevated metabolism all day long. Now, needless to say, maintaining blood sugar levels are important. When we wait too long to eat, our blood sugars drop too low. When we are chronically stressed, our blood sugar drops too low. When we overexercise, when we starve ourselves, when we go on certain diets, when we have too much caffeine or too much alcohol or too many drugs in our system, our blood sugar levels drop. Now, when that happens, adrenaline, cortisol, and glucagon are released to help raise the blood sugar back up. Now, stress hormones are important to us. They allow us to survive by using our own resources to maintain blood sugar and to provide nutrients to our muscles, organs, brain, and functions of the body, the unconscious processes of the body. Now, chronically low blood sugar and high stress hormones simply aren't good for long-term health and high metabolic rate. In the short term, I can promise you, you'll feel on top of the world, but stretch that out long enough and you'll start to feel detrimental effects. That is the result of too low of blood sugar. Too high of blood sugar is caused by eating the wrong foods, you know, too much food for you in one sitting, or the wrong ratio of macros, or eating too fast can all cause a high blood sugar spike. And chronically spiking our blood sugar is going to lead to weight gain, to fat storage. When you give your body too much sugar that it can use, then it's going to start to use it for storage. And that's when we lead to weight gain and or fat gain. Now, the benefits of a balanced blood sugar is increased steady energy, your cravings disappear, and you have a diminished or reduced hunger. You have more stable hormones, you have improved moods, improved quality of sleep, improved body composition, and better muscle to fat ratio. You also get better skin health, reduced feelings of stress, and overall improved feeling of well-being and vitality. Do all those positive benefits prove to you how important balancing our blood sugar is? So how do we maintain blood sugar levels? Well, we have to start by eating the right-sized meal for us. Eating a right-sized meal means that you feel alert, you're happy, and you're warm after your meal. Now, if you feel sluggish and tired after you just ate, it probably means you ate too big of a meal. Now, I can raise my hand and count to many countless times where I've eaten way too much and all I've wanted to do was go to sleep. Now, we call that food coma. So again, we have to eat the right-sized meal for us. But what if you start to get really hungry quickly after you just ate? And you know, maybe you're hungry an hour or two after you just ate a meal. That probably means the meal wasn't big enough for you. So you have to find that right balance for you. Remember, health is very individualized. Eat the right-sized meal for you so that you can feel alert, happy, and warm after you eat a meal. Now, this isn't going to happen every time. You know, you might indulge here and there, and that's okay. But again, we don't want to chronically overeat. We don't want to chronically undereat. It's about finding the right balance. Next, we have to limit certain foods, limit drugs, limit processed foods, alcohol, and caffeine-free caffeinated drinks because they alter your blood sugar levels. Now, I don't like to tell people to abstain from certain things. If you want to do them, do them. But don't chronically overindulge in them. That is when problems start to occur. So again, like processed carbs, like pasta, white bread, cookies, cakes, cereals, pizza, rice, they all spike your blood sugar. And we know that chronically spiking our blood sugar can lead to fat gain if we overeat these foods. Like I said, I'm not telling you to never eat these foods. I'm telling you to limit them. Another thing we can do to maintain blood sugar levels is eating mindfully and slowly. One of the biggest problems I see with people's eating habits is eating way too fast, and including me. I try my hardest to eat super slow, and I have no distractions. I'll make the meal the center of my attention. But I always noticed I finish first before everyone. And I'm like, oh, dang it. Now I got to sit there and watch everyone eat. That probably means I ate too fast. And that probably means I spiked my blood sugar. But it does require energy. And it does require focus to remain present and fully enjoy eating every single bite. But I promise you, it's worth it. When I can remind myself to eat mindfully and slowly, the meal becomes just that much more better. Now, I'm not telling you that you have to sit down and enjoy every meal. Like I said, again, everything in moderation. You don't want to chronically be eating on the go. You don't want to chronically be eating in your car, woofing down food. Like I said, it does take conscious effort to be mindfully tasting and enjoying every single bite. But I know that when I sit down and do it, it makes me feel so grateful for the food I just made, for even having the food in the first place, because I know many people don't have the same opportunity as I do to eat. The problems I see is that, you know, most people grab the most quickest, most convenient meal possible, aka fast food or, you know, something out the pantry or whatever. And they gobble that down while driving in their car, while driving to the next meeting, while heading to the next, whatever they're doing. And this only exacerbates their problem. I mean, who's ever swallowed food practically whole and felt like crap afterwards? You can't see me, but I'm raising my hand. Or who's ever gobbled food down so fast that they just had stomach ache or stomach cramps or they couldn't, you know, go to the bathroom correctly? Please raise your hand. Now, eating slower allows you to taste and savor every single bite and be grateful for every you know, the person who grew the food, the person who made the food, which might be you or your wife or your brother or your significant other, like whatever, it allows you to sit there and savor the moment. And then it allows you to listen to your inner cues so that you know when you're full. You know when to stop before you overeat. The meal should be the center of attention. The people you're sitting with at the table should be the center of attention. Not the computer or the TV or your phone or the road. I promise you, when you eat mindfully and slowly, radical things begin to happen. Now, another way to maintain blood sugar levels is eating the right ratios of protein to fat to carbs in a meal. Now, I'm going to give you the ratios real quick. Now, carbs can make up anywhere between 40 to 70%. Now, most people work well with 50% of the meal being carbs. Now, people who are less active and or have a damaged metabolism should start lower than that, because eating too many carbs quickly will inevitably lead to weight gain. Now, athletes or people with higher metabolisms can obviously afford to eat more carbs because they can burn the energy more efficiently. Protein can be around 20 to 30% of the meal. And protein is very helpful in slowing the blood sugar rising effects of carbs. So when you eat a carb, when you eat, say, rice, when you eat pasta, or when you're eating fruits, always have a protein along with it so that you don't spike your... It helps keep the blood sugar spike in check. Plus, protein helps you remain fuller longer. Fat, as well, is also needed for food to taste good, for the body to transport fat-soluble vitamins, to support hormone balance, and to slow the absorption of carbs into the blood. So again, protein and fat is important to eat with carbs so that you dampen the effects of the blood sugar spike. Most people do well with a fat ratio of about 20 to 30%. Now, these ratios are just guidelines. Like I said, health is very individualistic, so play around with the ratios. Find out what works for you, but always eat a protein and a fat with the carb to slow down the effects of the blood sugar spike, which can also slow down the effects of weight gain. Here's an example. I want to give you an example of with my coffee in the morning. So I pour coffee into my cup, and then I add maple syrup as my sweetener. And maple syrup counts as a sugar or a carb. Now, to slow the effects of that, I'll pour in full fat milk, because I want all the fat in the milk to slow the absorption of the sugar. And so that concoction provides me with steady energy levels and no caffeine crash. I want you guys to try that, because if you love coffee and if you love sweet coffee, man, maple syrup, real maple syrup with coffee and milk is the bomb. You know, I used to be someone who drank black coffee all day, every day. And it wasn't until, you know, the initial rush of first drinking black coffee, you know, was cortisol or adrenaline, the stress hormone, spiking up into my body. And so I felt, much more alert when I used to drink black coffee. But as I used to drink it more and more and more every day, my body got used to it, the effects went away, and I would find I would hit that caffeine crash. You know, my body would get, you know, a little alert for the first 30, 40 minutes of that, and then I would just crash. And I found out that, black coffee obviously spikes cortisol, the stress hormone, the adrenaline in your body, and over time, it adds up. And so I switched over to adding milk into my coffee. I switched over to adding maple syrup in my coffee. And then also coming to realize that the Holy Trinity, as I like to call it, gives me steady energy all day long. And I highly advise, again, for the coffee drinkers out there to mix it up a bit. You know, try adding some creamer in there. Try adding some sugar in there. I promise you, it's not as bad as you think. Now, the same could be done with any carb, not just coffee. Always eat a carb with a fat and a protein to help slow the absorption of sugar into your blood. Next, I'd like to address supplements. When I was going to the gym and into my heavy bodybuilding days, I was, taking all the supplements, fat burners, protein powders, creatine, what else? You name it, anything that I thought was going to give me an edge. But a lot of those are hocus pocus. A lot of those are actually trash. And especially the protein powder industry, I've come to realize that they have so much money invested into it to make these powders taste really good. Let's get start with some perspective. When protein powders first came out, they were trash. And they didn't have the money to find out, to have scientists create new recipes to make them taste better, to yada, yada, yada. But nowadays, when they've gotten much bigger. If you look at the ingredients, protein powders are mixed with so many additives. After all the processing that's done with the powders, the naturally occurring carbs and fat and minerals that are in the powder are often removed and replaced with sweetness and supplementary synthetic vitamins. You're better off eating real food. You're better off buying more proteins. You're better off spending your money on real food. If for time's sake, you need that protein powder and you can't live without it, it is best to get the protein powder from a grass-fed source free of additives. Stay away from the cheap stuff. So if you're going to drink protein powder, invest in yourself and buy the better brands. Buy the grass-fed sources. It's funny that I'm talking about supplements because I used to say that I didn't need supplements because the body could produce everything that it needs. But I've come to change my mind, and we simply don't live in the environment our ancestors used to live in. That was the fault in my thinking, that my ancestors didn't need supplements. Why do I need supplements? Well, they lived in a completely different world. And I'd like to introduce you to a brand called Mitolife. Now, I'm not paid by them. This is not a paid advertisement. But I've come across this page that I found on Instagram, and you can go to mitolife.com and check out their supplements. A big, big big supplement that I use now is called Pufa Protect, and it's a vitamin E supplement. Remember how I talked about how when we eat pufas, the body requires more vitamin E to run on. So this is straight. I'm reading the description straight from the website. If you go to mitolife.co, excuse me. So vitamin E, it says that the primary way that polyunsaturated fats break down healthy tissue is by depleting them of vitamin E. Enter a vitamin E supplement. Vitamin E supports tissue oxygenation, reduces oxidation of lipid membranes by PUFAs, protects against lipid peroxidation. Ooh, that's a tongue mouthful over there. Increases conversion of linoleic acid into saturated fat, protects skin loaded with PUFAs from ultraviolet sun damage, improves circulation, improves mitochondrial respiration, and protects from free radical damage, opposes all negative effects of estrogen, decreases vitamin A burn rate, decreases progesterone burn rate, protects against calcification and iron overload. Now, the common person would classify omega-3s as healthy fats, omega-6s as bad fats, and saturated fat as something to avoid or limit. The reality is the exact opposite. Now, this is, and it goes on to describe why vitamin E is important. And I can tell you that since taking this supplement, I just feel so much better, guys. And it really is drastic. I've been giving this as I've been taking it once a day with my girlfriend, and we've both felt so much better. I even bought a bottle for my mom. So this shows you how much I believe in the product. Another product I take from MitoLife is their Digested All pills, and their digestive enzymes to help digest all the food and allow your body to optimally digest and absorb the carbs and the protein and the fats and the fibers and all the nutrients in the food you just ate. Now, benefits of the Digested All include reduced gas and bloating, increased absorption of nutrients, including protein, carbs, and fats, decreases the proliferation of bad bacteria, and spares the conversion of metabolic enzymes into digestive enzymes. Again, guys, this has helped me so much. I can eat a rather large meal, you know, a larger meal than I'm supposed to, and take this pill, and I don't have the gassiness or the bloating involved. And this has been such a huge relief for me to eat a meal and not have this bloatiness. Now, I am going to put the links into the description as well so that you guys can check these supplements out. Again, the brand is called MitoLife.co. That is their website. A supplement that I've also been taking is bee pollen. So you can buy this at like Sprouts or Whole Foods or anything like that. Now, bee pollen contains more than 250 active substances, including protein, carbs, lipids, fatty acids, vitamins, especially B vitamins, minerals, enzymes, and antioxidants. Wide variety of antioxidants to combat free radicals in your body. It's anti-inflammatory. But don't consume it if you're allergic to bees or bee pollen. You know, talk to your doctor as well. What bee pollen does is that it improves your blood supply to the nervous tissue, which is going to improve your mental capacity and your ability to manage stress goes up as well. Now, I've been taking a little less than a teaspoon a day, and that's really all you need. I think I bought like a little thing of bee pollen from Sprouts, and it was like $24-$25. And I bought it, well, like maybe three weeks ago, and it's still pretty full. You take such a small amount. That is why. And I feel good, guys. I feel really good. Another supplement that I take is pine tree pollen. And I haven't found this anywhere at GNC or anywhere. I've had to buy it on Amazon. But pine tree pollen is a Chinese medicine, and it's been used for the past 3,000 years. In Asia, pine pollen is traditionally known as a powerful jing-enhancing herb, which loosely translates to the vital essence or life force in us. Herbs classified as jing tonics are typically used in cases of weakness, a burnout from stress or exhaustion, sexual imbalances, including infertility, low libido, erectile dysfunction, and etc., or in any case where there was a need for deep rejuvenation and nourishment. The Taoists believe that we are born with a certain amount of jing in us, and when it runs out, we die. So the handful of herbs able to cause the accumulation and restoration of jing in the body are revered as supreme longevity tonics, of which pine pollen is one of the greatest. In addition to all of its other medicinal healing properties, one of pine pollen's greatest benefits is that it also is a nutrient-rich food containing hundreds of vitamins, minerals, and enzymes that nourish the body at a fundamental level. It is particularly rich in B vitamins, amino and amino acids, which are the building blocks of protein and heavily influence neurotransmitter production and mood, and vitamin D3, which is notoriously difficult to get from, but luckily we live in San Diego. But for the people who don't live in sand, you know, places where there's a lot of sun, vitamin D3 is actually very hard to get. And so the only other sources being egg yolks and fish and the sun. Pine pollen is also rich in more exotic, albeit vitally important compounds such as nucleic acids and superoxide dismutase, a powerful antioxidant and cell protectant, among many others. But perhaps the most unique and important property and benefit of pine pollen is its ability to harmonize and powerfully rejuvenate the endocrine system, which is a rare ability in the plant world. Pine pollen is the nature's most powerful androgen, which essentially translates to a substance that stimulates testosterone production. Although other hormones also fall into this title as well. It's not just testosterone that gets a boost. But if you're a woman, don't let this scare you. The reason pine pollen is such a powerful androgen is in large part because it is the only natural source of the wonder hormone DHEA, which is the precursor to not just testosterone, but to estrogen and progesterone as well. With that being said, all of these hormones are important for both men and women, just in different proportions, which is why it is important to note that pine pollen is considered an adaptogenic herb, meaning that it is one that restores balance to the body by adapting its effects to whatever conditions are present. And for this reason, it is safe for both men and women to take, with a few exceptions. Again, talk to your doctor, but I can't say enough good things about pine pollen. Pine tree pollen, guys. Check it out. Find it on Amazon. I'll put the link in the show notes. Now, I've thrown so much at you guys. Hang in with me for just a little bit longer. I want to address, you know, you've got all the education you know about protein, fats, carbs, supplements, and the importance of balancing blood sugar, but before we can even do that, we need to have the right mindset to go along with our new health change. And so I want to address the limiting beliefs that surround health. Now, if you don't know what limiting beliefs are essentially a subconscious thought that frames how you see the world. Though our subconscious thoughts and beliefs have a major impact on our lives. They can even hold you back from reaching your biggest dreams. And the saddest thing about it is that you may not even know that you have limiting beliefs, or you may not even know that you're getting in your own way. So what are some beliefs surrounding health? You know, a common belief I hear is that it's my genetics. I'm born this way. I'm big boned. Or I don't deserve it. I don't have the willpower, or I'm lazy, I'm too old, or as I get older, I get weaker. This is going to be like the last time I failed, so why even try? I don't have the time to heal. Healing requires experts. It's God's will that I'm fat. Do any of these resonate with you? You have to uncover the limiting belief that's stopping you from living your best life. And this applies to every area in life, not just health. Think about all the pain that these beliefs give you and that they have caused. Think about all the things you've missed out on because of your health. Think about all the future pain it will bring you if you continue to indulge in these beliefs. Think about it, guys. These beliefs aren't true. You can always reframe a belief, but first you have to know that you have these limiting beliefs and you have to want to change them. So again, I ask you to think about the pain that it currently brings you. Think about the pain that it will bring you, and think about all the things you've missed out on because of your current state of health. Leverage that pain and use it. Use the pain to bring some good into your life. Now, when you are ready, I want you to come up with a more empowering belief. A belief like, I accept myself for who I am. I want to be my best self. I have the power to be my best self. Or that past actions don't define me. Or that I'm willing to get out of my comfort zone. Or that I have total control over what goes into my mouth. I have more than enough time to be healthy. Or that exercise is the ultimate stress reliever. Or that I want to set an example for my family to follow. Think about all the great things you'll be experiencing with health on your side. Think about all the new things that you're going to be able to do with this new vitality and energy coursing through you. That is how we adopt a more empowering belief. So again, discover your limiting beliefs. Decide that you want to change them and that they no longer serve you. Think about all the pain it causes you and will cause you. And you leverage that to create a more empowering belief. Another thing I like to talk about is that when people make a shift in the way they eat, they usually use the word diet. Oh, hey guys, I'm on this new diet. Oh, I can't eat that. I'm on this new diet. To me, using the word diet conjures up images of restrictiveness. You know, oh, I can't eat that. I can't eat that. I can't eat that. I don't know about you, but I don't like feeling like I'm restricted. And since we're talking about wordplay as well, let's talk about using the word can't. I can't eat this. I can't eat that. Can't implies that you want to, but you're not allowed to. Everyone knows how hard it is to follow a diet and how tempting it is to break the rules. It's even harder for people to follow through on rules they've set on themselves but don't agree with. So again, if you love carbs but you're on a keto diet and you can't eat carbs, you're on the keto diet and you can't eat carbs, what's going to happen? You're more than likely going to indulge on carbs. You're more than likely going to not follow through on that diet. So I want you to think about it like this. When you make a shift in the way that you eat, I advise you to assume a new identity. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, if someone was to ask you, hey, what's up? What's up with the way you're eating? You simply tell them that this is the way I eat now, instead of using the word diet. I'm not on this diet. It's just the way I eat. It's who I am now. You see how much more empowering that is? Even the self-talk in your head should be using the words, I don't, instead of I can't. Well, hey, would you like this cookie? Oh, I don't eat cookies anymore. Not I can't eat cookies anymore. The phrase, I don't, gives a sense of empowerment as well. It gives you a sense of identity. It's an affirmation of your determination and your newfound willpower. Like I said earlier, the phrase, I can't, is a restriction, and it's being imposed on you. It's like a jail sentence. The words, I don't eat this way, or this is how I eat this way, or I eat this way now, excuse me. Much more empowering. The beautiful thing about using this strategy is that it couldn't be any easier. Every time you catch yourself thinking, I can't have this, or I can't do that, simply say, no, I don't do this. I don't eat this. I don't whatever, you know? Instead, say that instead. Because the truth is, it is your choice. The power to decide what you do and what you don't do really is yours. When you're always thinking, I can't, I can't, I can't, it's easy to lose sight of that fact. It's time to take your power back, and now you know where to start. Make that small shift in your language, you know, replacing the word diet, using the phrase I don't instead of I can't, and you'll be surprised at how easy it is to say no to temptations. Another mindset shift I like to share with diet is using the 80-20 rule. Now, the 80-20 rule means that 80% of the food you should eat, you're eating, should be clean food, should be the food you're supposed to be eating. And 20% of the remaining ratio can be foods that you indulge in. Now, the 80-20 rule applies to a day. You know, 80% of the food you eat in a day is clean food. It can apply towards a week, a month, a year, 10 years, a lifetime. You know, 80% of the food you're eating in any given time period should be clean food. The rest, 20%. I like that ratio because, you know, we're human. We all like to eat certain things. We all like to indulge. I'm not telling you to not go out and live. Please live. But I want you to live a more energized, full of vitality life. This mindset shift, this 80-20 rule, creates a sense of ease in my mind, and it helps and reaffirms my mind to know that I can get back on track right away because I follow the 80-20 rule. So let's say, you know, one day I decide to eat 50% clean and 50% bad. Well, I know that I can stretch that time period out to a week and then switch the ratios and then follow back on track the remainder of the week. Because let's be honest, it's very hard to eat clean. I mean, you could meal prep every single meal. You could count every calorie. You could deny going out to eat with your loved ones or sitting down and watching them eat while you eat some boring salad. You could deny going out on vacations and eating the foods native to those lands. But where's the fun in that? That's why I'm saying use the 80-20 rule to your advantage. How is that living if you're so preoccupied with every little thing? Many things happen in our life that's going to blindside us, and there are going to be times where we fall off the wagon for a bit. But as long as you remember the 80-20 rule, it's no biggie at all. Making the decision to get back on track is so much easier when you're not beating yourself up over some ice cream or eating a carb. So, use the 80-20 rule to your advantage, and remember that it applies to every span of time. One day, 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, one lifetime. So I've thrown so much at you during this nutrition re-education, and it could be very easy to get lost in everything that I've thrown at you, because it is a radical change for many people. It can feel like so much. It can feel like an overwhelming thing to radically change what you eat and to go into your cupboards and change everything. I'm not telling you to drastically change your life because that'll more than likely lead to you failing. I want you to slow down and replace one thing at a time. Maybe start with the proteins or start with the fats you're cooking with. Start with the carbs you're eating. Start with one small topic in this nutrition re-education and slowly build your way up until you can comfortably adopt all these new beliefs. Start small, guys. I'm not telling you to drastically change your life, so please don't feel like you have to go into your kitchen and raid your cabinets and throw everything away. Start with one subtopic and work your way down. And that is it for the Nutrition Re-Education family. Thank you so much for tuning in today to this week's episode. Again, I know a lot was thrown at you, much of it contradicting what mainstream nutrition says. Again, take it small, guys. Make sure to share it with someone who you think will find value in this episode. You never know when you can truly change someone's life. You could be the catalyst to their change by sharing this episode. Make sure to follow me on IG at Diego_CruzBaker. Again, please leave the podcast a review. Let us know what you thought about the episode. What was most valuable for you these past two episodes? Drop it in the review section below. And I want to close with the following message. Really reflect on the state of your health. How's your thinking? How are your energy levels? What's the current state of your body? Is what we've been taught about nutrition leading us in the right path? Reflect on all the opportunities that you've missed out on because of your health. Reflect on your family and their health. Reflect on the example you're living for your family. Has your body been trying to make noises to warn you something is wrong, like how cars do? Now, again, any sort of medical condition, ranging from cancer all the way down to acne, are signs your body is trying to tell you something, including emotional states. You know what time it is, folks. boss up, show the world the goat in you. And until next time, Kaizen.